I'm Dr. Linda, and this is The Psychology Behind. Today I want to talk about your relationship with food and the things you can do to kind of improve that relationship. I was talking to a producer friend of mine the other day, and she told me 52% of all programming on TV is now food-related. 52%, and I've got to say, I'm actually not surprised. I swear I saw a show about cupcakes the other day. It wasn't even about cakes, it was specifically about cupcakes. So the way that we're talking about food has become so much more nuanced. It's not just cooking shows, it's sort of, you know, dieting shows, and, or, you know, why foods are bad for you, or superfoods. It's everywhere. And that's just on TV. That doesn't even begin to capture what goes on online. A recent article in business.com found that there was, when you look at sort of hashtags on Instagram, there's something like close to 200,000 on, you know, hashtag food, and close to sort of 800,000 on hashtag food porn. So no doubt these numbers will have increased significantly by the time that you listen to this. But the fact of the matter is, we are discussing food much more, and I think in a very different way that, you know, we have for you know, I think ever in our history. I think food has gone from being something that we needed to something that we enjoyed to now, you know, not just the science of food, but this sort of virtue signaling or being part of tribes that like food or tribes that want to manage their calories. It's just crazy how much time and mental energy is spent thinking about food. And I've got to say, from a clinical perspective, with the range of eating disorders that we work with, it's become a lot more varied. People are just not coming in and speaking about, you know, wanting to lose weight. People are becoming unhealthily anxious, not just about calorific intake and size, but about clean eating. So I'm hearing about paleo diets or whatever other food trend is currently in vogue. As a society, I think we're kind of fetishizing food more than ever before. We have way more access to nutritional information, a lot of which is sort of conflicting. Way more access to recipes, way more access to photos of food, not to mention like the amount of articles on where to eat, what not to eat, how to eat, you know, how slowly, how quickly, where the lighting has to be, what time. And the fact is that while it's normal, of course, to enjoy food and indeed think about making food and good food choices, there's a really significant line between thinking carefully about what we put into our bodies and actually obsessing over it. The interesting thing with food as well is that traditionally you'd think of diets and obsessing around food as being primarily a female thing, but we're seeing a huge rise in men being obsessed with food, and in fact a rise in eating disorders for men. And I think a big part of this is the fact, again, that food is so fetishized in our society. It's everywhere you look. And I think, therefore, the cognitive exercise of putting something in your mouth becomes much more complicated because, you know, a cupcake is no longer a cupcake. It, you know, turns into something to be, you know, feeling guilty about, or it turns into sort of your cheat day, or it turns into, I have to remember this when I'm at the gym so I can add a few more weights or do a few more reps, or it becomes something to kind of beat yourself over the head with. And likewise, even when you're eating healthily, I think what it does in many ways is sort of promotes this all or nothing thinking. Either I'm being really good and eating really well, or I'm being really bad. Some days I'll eat more of it, some days less, some days I'll enjoy it, some days it'll just be something that, you know, I have to do or I even skip. It doesn't have that kind of nice, normal balance. And it's something I've got to say that worries me, because clinically I do a lot of work in eating disorders, and it really has changed for kind of looking at these sort of very clear-cut disorders that, you know, tended to be around restricting food or binging, to being so much more nuanced around, you know, having to be healthy or having to eat at certain times, or even, you know, I have people coming into me and talking about how, you know, so many of their discussions with their friends are around food, so you can't actually decide where to go and eat because someone's vegan, another person can't eat after a certain time. So it's actually affecting even the way that we socialize, and we know that food is a big part of the way that we socialize. So whether you're an emotional eater or you're a yo-yo dieter, or more worryingly beginning to engage in obsessive or disordered thinking about food, I want to give you today 5 things you can do to begin to rebuild a better relationship with the way you eat. My first tip is eat everything in moderation. The minute you make something a forbidden treat, the more likely you're going to be to crave it or feel guilty when you have it. These value judgments that we put on food can lead you to change the way you engage with it, right? So for example, it's not just a piece of cake, but rather a moral conundrum that you need to resolve that will reflect if you're being good or bad. The fact is, it is just a piece of cake. So if you want to have it, it's fine. And the less you deify it or vilify it, the more likely you will be to be able to consume it in moderation. I think the problem becomes when you put so much value on it that it's this guilty pleasure and it's this huge treat that of course you're never going to get enough of it. So see it for what it is. It tastes good, but it's a piece of cake. And it's actually a piece of cake that will end no matter how big the slice is. And I think that's the other thing. You know, having 10 bites more doesn't mean you're going to have that much more enjoyment of it. You know, think about having a reasonable slice. And when it finishes, you've enjoyed it, move on. Don't turn it into something that's bigger, that's a testament to who you are as a human being. I think that's the worst thing that you can do. Secondly, listen to your body. Portion sizes at restaurants have increased significantly over the past decades. Year on year, they're getting bigger and bigger. And as a consequence, that old adage of eating everything on your plate really won't work unless you're in control of what's actually on that plate. On the other end of the spectrum, of course, dieters or people that restrict spend so much time limiting and worrying about what they eat that they forget how to respond to their body's natural hunger response. Remember, our bodies are generally really good at telling us when to eat and when we're full, but we need to learn to listen. In fact, there's lots of studies that have been done about blindfolding people when they're eating, and study after study shows that if you eat blindfolded, you tend to eat less. Why? That's because at that point, you're much more likely to use the cues of your stomach to see when you're full rather than what your plate looks like. So remember, pick up on those cues. Am I feeling full? Am I feeling satiated? Eat mindfully. Pay attention to your body's natural response to food without becoming judgmental or worrying about what's on your plate. Thirdly, take boredom and emotion off the table. It's really important to eat when you're hungry. The fact of the matter is, so many times we overeat because we're bored. We just kind of sit in front of the TV and get used to putting, you know, crisps or popcorn in our mouths, that we do it habitually. In fact, there was a study that did something really simple. They got people to eat popcorn, but they got half the group to eat with their dominant hand and half the group to eat with their non-dominant hand. Those that ate with their non-dominant hand ate significantly less popcorn. Why? Because it wasn't just this sort of ritualistic behavior of grabbing the popcorn and putting it in your mouth. You had to think about it. So you shouldn't eat when you're bored and it becomes a habitual thing. Think about when you're eating. Become mindful of what you're putting in your mouth. And likewise, when it comes to emotion, too many times we use food as a means of comfort. And of course we do. It's evolutionary, it's cultural. Think about just the very fact of what we get when we breastfeed, right? We know we have that warmth from our mother and we're eating. So that association of food and comfort is ingrained in us. And then it kind of gets reinforced in society. Think of how many times you've, I don't know, brought a tub of ice cream over when your friend's broken up with their partner. Or think of how many times someone's tried to seduce you and giving you chocolate or strawberries. Or, you know, food does mean for a lot of people comfort or love or connection. However, it's just food. And it's really important that we don't over-emotionalize it. Instead, we need to find a more functional way of dealing with feelings that doesn't depend on food. So I would say, make a note, if you find that you're overeating every time you're stressed or you're anxious or you're sad or you're worried, that you then begin to substitute the eating with a more functional behavior. If I'm eating because I'm stressed, maybe it's a better idea that I take that stress out by going for a run or going to the gym. If I'm eating when I'm sad, maybe it's a better idea that I call my friend and get some support or read something that'll elevate my mood. Don't let food be your go-to place when it comes to dealing with emotion. Fourthly, don't talk about or engage with food so much. Now, we know that eating disorders, whether they have to do with overeating or restricting, all share something in common. People think about food way too much. Yes, food is definitely one of life's pleasures and you should enjoy it, but there are a lot of other pleasures out there. So if you find yourself constantly obsessing over pictures of food or recipes about food or your next meal, then maybe it's time to, you know, inject some diversity into what you focus on that will give you pleasure. Think about, I don't know, relationships. Think about hobbies. Think about arts that you like. Think about the clothes that you're going to wear, the music you're going to listen to. Don't let food be your only outlet when it comes to enjoying something. Finally, number 5, stop comparing. Your nutritional needs and body type are no doubt different to people around you. So don't compare. Eat what's right for you. Some people need more, some people need less. And really importantly, respect your body enough to feed it and nurture it in a healthy, balanced way that's good for you. Don't compare to those around you. You need to do what feels right and let go of the shoulds and have-tos that we're bombarded with when it comes to the way we eat. The Psychology Behind was produced in conjunction with Audioboom. I really hope you liked listening to it. And if you have, just please make sure to subscribe to the series on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss out on new episodes. And if you can, always love to hear from you. So rate and review the series while you're there too. Look forward to speaking to you next week.